Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you thanking you that the anchor holds, that you are not changed, and circumstances do not change who you are, nor our response to you. Lord, we cry out to you as our God to be strong, to be our strength. Lord, open our eyes as we get into your word this morning. Help us to see, to cherish, to love your word. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, the depth and the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. Thank you, Steve, for reading that. Oh, it's beautiful this morning. There is mystery to God. The Lord our God is a mysterious God, and many times we miss that mystery, and we try to feel like, or we think we feel like we've got him figured out. Sometimes we feel like we know God, especially those many of us who are mature in our faith. We feel, well, we know what the Bible shows us, so we know who God is. We've got him kind of figured out by this time. We've walked with him for 20 or 30 or 40 years. And then he wakes you up and you realize there's so much mystery in the wisdom of God that we cannot fathom. There's so much that God will do that we would not. And it brings us to our knees sometimes to say, why, God, why? There is mystery in the Lord. And the scripture is clear about that. The scripture lets us know that he is not like us. He does not think like us. Let me give you an illustration. Yesterday, we helped a house in the morning. By noon, we had finished that house. We'd gotten everything out of this person's house, either on the street or on the patio. We left to go. I got a call from someone that, Mr. Marvin Collins, who's done prison ministry in our area for 40 years, that he had nobody to help him. And he's retired. And so we went to his house to help him and drove through. And if you were in Baton Rouge yesterday, you know the traffic is terrible. So we got to his house after sitting in traffic a while, and there were like 20 people at his house helping him. So apparently somebody else got the word a little sooner than we did. So I pulled up, and my daughter looked at me, and she said, what are we going to do? And I said, Lord, what are we going to do? And I said, you know, maybe I'll just ask the neighbor if they need help. And my daughter looked at me and said, you can't do that. We don't know those people. What's going to happen? What if something happens? And I said, that's what we're going to do, Abby. And we're going to ask the neighbor. So we got out. I walked across the street. And there's a man who had poured a handload of stuff at the street. And I looked at him and I said, do you need help? And he looked at me. He said, yeah, we need help. We need help. And I said, well, there's only one way we can help you. And he said, what's that? And I said, if we do it in Jesus' name. And he said, that's the only help I want, man. That's the only help I want in Jesus' name. And he brought me inside. It was his brother's house. And he brought me to his brother. And his brother looked at me in almost disbelief when I said, we want to help you. And he said, I was just praying on the back patio and said, Lord, I don't know that I can do this. I help me, Lord, help me. And not 10 minutes later, you walked into my house with a team of 8 people to help me. And we tore out walls, and we picked up wood floor and pried it up. And we tore out carpet and padding, and we tore off paneling, and we shoveled his whole house out the window into wheelbarrows that he didn't have. And we dumped it in the street. And we stayed there for 6 hours helping this man clean his house. And then one of our teams finished yesterday early, about 3 o'clock, and called me and said, well, the houses we've we've been in are pretty much finished. I said, well, come on over here. Well, there is so much. And so they came and they got there and we walked over. They showed up and I said, come on, we're going to the neighbor's house. And I walked over to the neighbor and said, do you need help? And it was a 60-something-year-old man, his 40-year-old daughter, 30-something-year-old daughter, and a 7-year-old boy trying to rip out sheetrock and pick up carpet and whatever they could. And we said, do you need help? And he said, oh, yes, we need help. So they came in and began to help. And I know Jay talked to the man for a good while and talked about his faith and where he was. And he said, man, I didn't even ask for help. And Jay said, well, I didn't even know I was coming here today. So that makes two of us. And Jay talked about the Lord and shared faith with him. And the man said, I'm getting back involved in church now. I see what this is. I got to make some changes. I used to do this and I got out of it. My wife was sick and I got out, but I'm getting back in. This is the Lord's providing. And to watch the story of these people, and when they're shoveling their whole house out of their window into a wheelbarrow, for them to look and say, the Lord's been so good to us. There's mystery. We don't understand. We cannot fathom the Spirit of God moving among His people and moving among His workers to see people turning to God. We saw a woman, Miss Deborah, weeping before the Lord through this thing. We don't understand the hand of God. But we sit in awe and say, God, you, the depth of riches of knowledge of God. Sorry, I said Deborah, Brenda. Oh, the depth of riches and knowledge of God. We don't understand. But God is God. Church, and we've got to sit back and say, God, you are God. And I cannot fathom who you are, but I surrender to who you are. And we love you, oh God. Our children right now, through God's providence, in children's church, parents, you can ask your children what they learn. And I can tell you they talked about Job this morning. How fitting. Job. Man who lost all he had, was shoveling all he had into piles of ash and burning it. And what did he say, church? The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. What? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't understand. But blessed be the name of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Church, our theme this year has been Each One, Reach One. And I can tell you that this week we have done what we could. Brother Chaz was kind of tallying. He kind of headed up our relief this week and was able to coordinate so much and be so helpful. And he told me last night, how many houses was it that we were in as a church this week?
At least 22
houses this week that we as a church touched. Probably more than that, but he's in his coordinating efforts, 22 among those you also helped. We were reaching. We reached people for the name of Jesus, so praise God for that. Last week we looked at death and the power of the Lord. There is death that we face, but there's power in God. And as we get to the context of, continuing the context of the power of God, we get to today's passage, beginning in verse 14 of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, about mystery. About mystery. And when we understand that there is death and that we have no power over it, we can't live an extra day. Our days are numbered, Jesus said. That there is power in the Lord. There's power, great power, that when we come before the power, we just say, I don't understand it, but I trust in your wisdom. Let's begin in verse 8 and 14 of chapter 8. There's a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. And there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. And I said, this is also vanity. What's the preacher telling us here? He's telling us, well, there are people that good things should happen to that bad things are happening to. And there are bad people that are getting good things happen to them. Oh, I don't understand. This stuff is just passing. It's short-lived, and it's stuff that I just don't understand and don't comprehend. Don't comprehend. Well, we know that the Scripture teaches that the Lord sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He brings the goodness of His rain to the just, to the righteous before Him. And also He brings the blessing to those who are wicked and unjust. We know Jesus said that. But the converse is true, as we've seen this week, and we see nearly every week, surely every week, is the flood happens to the pastor and to the punk. The waters rise at the pastor's house. I can give you names of Southern Baptist pastors in our association and folks who work at our association office. People who have given their lives to the gospel. Now they have water in their house. As well as the ungodly. And many people ask the question, why? Why does this happen? And I want to give you two reasons that I believe the Scripture teaches why these things happen. Because I think a lot of people are asking. I think a lot of families are going to be asking. I just can't understand why. Yet the shock is going to wear off, and now they've got to go buy new clothes and buy new couches. Why? Why did this happen to me? Let me give you two ways in which I think are helpful and are biblical. One is He is showing His mercy. And another reason He is showing His judgment. I mean, both of those are biblical, and we'll see them both. Let me give you two biblical examples. When bad things happen to people, God is showing, the Lord is showing His mercy. Look in Hosea chapter 6, if you will. Hosea chapter 6. Yes, the Lord is showing His mercy when He allows bad things to happen to people. And that sounds so backwards and silly to some people. You're telling me the Lord is showing His mercy when something bad happens? And the answer is yes. Yes. How can I say that? Well, look here in Hosea chapter 6. It says this, come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us. That's bad things. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, that He might what, church?
Heal
us. You know, the Lord taking away our stuff is not necessarily a bad thing. And I know that you can say, well, you didn't lose all your stuff. Yeah, but people I love dearly did. My parents lost everything they had in a flood years ago when Ivan came and flooded their house. So I know that there is... losing all of our stuff is not necessarily a bad thing. And here's why. Because it brings us many times to the place where we need to be weeping before the Lord, saying, Lord, I come to You and I recognize who You are. And there is no greater blessing than to come into the presence of God knowing who He is. There is no greater blessing than losing everything. Paul said, I count everything I have as rubbish compared to knowing the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And church, We either believe that or we don't. And knowing Jesus is worth all of our stuff or it's not. And as you talk to people who are shoveling stuff out of their window, we weep with them. Romans 12:15, we weep with them. But we also must point them to the healing that the Lord may bring through this. And that knowing Jesus is greater than all that mound of stuff that's sitting at the street side. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us that He might heal us. He has struck us down that He might bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up that we might live before Him. Let us know, let us press to know the Lord. You see the idea there? He has torn us, He has broken us, He's brought us to a place to where maybe losing all of our stuff is the only way for Him to open our eyes to His glory. And church, I have to tell you, Scripture says it's worth it. Come, let us know Him, let us press to know Him. It's worth it. And if it's not worth it, then our stuff means too much to us. God is merciful by allowing tragedy to come. The Lord was merciful to Job. Because at the end of the story, Job said, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. I thought I knew you, but I had no idea who you are. Now I see you, my living God. Was God merciful to Job? Oh, you betcha. His mercy. Why else does the Lord bring a tragedy? Judgment. Sometimes the Lord is bringing judgment and tragedy. We don't know every reason and every instance and every all of the understanding of God. Oh, the depth of riches of knowledge and wisdom. We just say we don't know. But sometimes it's for judgment. There was a news article, a guy I listened to on the radio named Tony Perkins. Sometimes I hear him on the radio on my way home from work. His daughter went to school with me. He's a representative and state representative, and he heads up a ministry called American Family Association or something like that. Anyway, there was a flood years ago, and he had said that when that flood happened, he thought, you know, it could be God's mercy, or I don't know exactly what he said, but I know it. And part of what he said was, it could have been the Lord's judgment upon a people. And it was a group of people who had passed some policies that were against the biblical principles and against the teachings of what the Bible would teach. And he said, maybe this is some way in which the Lord is bringing judgment. And his house flooded last week. And so a lot of people in the news were pointing to him and going, ah, ha, ha. Yeah, see, is God judging you now? You see that? You see, you call out God's judgment. He's judging you now. What do you have to say to that? So I ask you, Christian, is Tony Perkins wrong in saying that the Lord may bring disaster, allow disaster in judgment? Are you part of the group that might say, ha ha, see? You point the finger, and here's what may happen to you. Luke 13, it gives us some insight into that, and this is a story that Jesus told. He said there were some present at that very time who told him about some Galileans, some people from Galilee whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So here's a people of Galileans coming to sacrifice, make their sacrifices at the altar. And apparently Pilate had sent some people to kill them while they were making their sacrifices to the Lord. And he answered them, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered?" He said, "No, I tell you." So did God bring judgment upon them because they were worse? Jesus said, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Well, maybe the Lord brought this not to bring judgment because they're worse, but he brought it to bring people to repentance. And Jesus is saying, these things remind us that we're sinful and we do need to repent. Is there some sense of judgment in it? Yes. Yes. But it reminds us that we need to be repentant of our sin because sin brings death and judgment. Verse 3. Verse 4. Or how about the 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them? Do you think they were worse offenders than all of the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Here's the thing. Sin brings judgment universally. Sometimes the good and the bad and the ugly are all part of it. What it brings us to remind us is this. No, we're all in the same boat as sinful. And when we see things like this, I hope it brings us to the place of repentance, like Brenda had in her soul, crying out to God, "Oh God, oh God, I return to you in ways that I need to." I've seen people all throughout the streets and in houses this week drawn to the Lord and drawn to his mercy. "Oh Lord, I'm drawn to you in repentance." It's what people are doing. But some people are pointing fingers and mad at God. Why does the Lord allow these things to happen? Well, his mercy and his judgment. Look at verse 15. Y'all with me still? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, we're with me. Ecclesiastes 8:15. In light of this, in light of all of these things happening and us stepping back in verse 14 and saying, why do good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? Here's his response to that. The preacher, Kohola, says, "And I commend joy." You know, good things are happening to bad people. Bad things are happening to good people. What's my answer? I commend joy. I don't have the answer to why those things are happening to those people and not happening to the others. But here's what I commend. Joy. I commend joy. For man has nothing better under the sun but to eat, to drink, and be joyful. For this will go well with him through his toil, through the days of his life that the Lord has given him, that God has given him under the sun. Here's the idea. I don't know. It's a good answer. I don't know. But be joyful in it. I'm not going to be able to explain why the Lord allows good things and bad things to certain groups of people and why somebody's house flooded and somebody's didn't, or why somebody got a tower fell on somebody and a tower didn't fall on the others. It's not our mind to know. It's in the depths of the riches of the knowledge of God to know. But despite it all, joy. Find your joy in the Lord. Watching people weeping, not for sadness, but for joy because people showed up to help. They find their joy. Finding their joy in the Lord, saying, "The Lord's been so gracious to me." I had a lady I talked to this week who said, went to her house, ripping up floor. I mean, they had mud on everything up to my chest. Everything. Slipping, sliding through the house because it was still wet mud on Wednesday. She looked at me and said, "The Lord's been so good to me." She said, I did not pay my last flood insurance premium. I looked at her. I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, the Lord's been so good to me. I did not pay my last flood insurance premium." I thought, "What does that mean?" And she said, and I called my adjuster just to find out if, you know, where we were. And he said, "You know, that was 29 days ago." that your bill was due. And there's a 30-day grace period that you can pay. If you can send me a check tomorrow, then we'll cover your house. And she said, I went straight to the bank and sent the payment in, and they're going to cover me. Thank you, Lord. It's stuff like that. We just, wow. The Lord was gracious to her and kind. And she found joy in the situation and knew where the blessing had come from. I commend joy, says the preacher. Joy. We're not going to understand it. And we will drive ourselves mad trying to understand why. And sometimes the answer is just, I don't know. It could be this, it could be this, but I don't know. It's in the wisdom of God. But I commend joy, because if we don't eat and drink and be joyful and find our joy in the Lord, we're gonna be miserable. And the Lord has not called us as Christians to be a miserable people. He's called us to be a people of joy. Not people with joy that have all the answers, but a people with joy. How many of you have flown in an airplane? Let me see your hand. All right. How many of you were absolutely nervous while you were flying on the airplane? All right, a couple of you. How many of you looked out the window and enjoyed the flight? Okay. More of you. Good. Y'all are the real Christians. Let me tell you why. No, I'm playing. I'm being silly. Let me tell you what's going on. Now, here's my final question. How many of you understand the laws of aerodynamics to the T? All right, a couple of you. Rick's up there. I do. Yeah, you do. All right. He was teaching kids in Haiti the laws of aerodynamics. So you don't have to know why. You can just enjoy the ride sometimes. You don't have to know everything of how the wind speed under the wing is slower, so then the wind speed on top of the wing is faster, so it creates a lift. You don't have to know all that kind of stuff to sit back and look out the window and take your peanuts or pretzels and enjoy the flight. Looking down, oh look, these islands, those are beautiful. You don't have to. You have faith and you enjoy the ride. And I think that's the idea that the preacher's giving to us. You might not know why. You might not know why and who and how. But you can say, Lord, it doesn't matter because I know you. And I trust you, and my life is in your hands, and I'm going to follow and trust you. Does that make sense? Why the flooding? I don't know. But I do know that I'm going to find my joy in Christ, not my stuff. Why disease? I don't know. But I know that I'm going to find joy in Christ, not in my comfort. Why loneliness? Why am I so lonely? I don't know. But I know that there is joy in Christ, not in having someone with you. Why do bad things happen? I don't know. But I do know that we can find joy in Christ, not in our circumstances. And this is not to make light of any or make any situation little or minimal, but it is showing Christ to be as big and as grand and as magnificent as he is. It's not making situations little. Look, I know it hurts to be alone, and it hurts to be sick, and it hurts to lose all your stuff. I know that. But I also know that in comparison to the glory of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that those things are not significant. Because Jesus is that much greater and that much bigger and that much more glorious than my CD collection. And I love music. Verse 16. Then I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that's done on earth and how neither day or night do one's eyes see sleep. Look at verse 17. He's trying to figure it all out. And he says, then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that God, the work that is done under the sun. However much man may toil in seeking to understand, he will not find it out. And even though a wise man claims to know, he don't. He can't find it out. We cannot understand, nor fathom, nor predict the plan of God. The Lord is wise and knowledgeable beyond our comprehension. We cannot find him out. That does not mean we don't seek to know him and try to understand who he is, but that does mean that we find rest and comfort and joy in the fact that we're not going to be able to know everything that he will do, or why he will do everything that he will do, or how he does everything that he does. But we seek to know him. I'm going to read it one more time. Steve read it this morning. Romans 11. I just love this passage because it's Paul going through 11 chapters of theology of salvation. This is what the Lord has done to save souls and to pay for sin and to show Christ and to save his people and to show mercy upon people and to gather people and to harden people and all of these things that we see in Romans, and then to save people in Romans 10, and to bring the gospel to the nations, Romans 10. And then he gets to Romans 11, and you get to this explosion of worship and him saying, this is how it all is. This is what it is. This is who God is. This is what he's done. And then he just, the depths and the riches and wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and inscrutable are his ways. I can't even understand him. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who's been his counselor, who's given a gift to him that he can be repaid? I don't know. I can't tell him what to do. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. My response is, I don't know, but to him be glory forever. Amen. So when you talk to people and you say, and they say, how could God do this? How could he let this happen to me? Begin to think through some of these things and talk through some of the things we've said this morning. We can't understand that. We don't know, but we can have joy even despite it because we compare our stuff to Jesus Christ, and our pile of stuff at the side of the road is nothing compared to the glory of Jesus Christ. And we say, yeah, we don't know, but we do know that Jesus is worth it. And if we miss Jesus because we've lost our stuff, then we've missed it all. And our pile has done nothing for us. But if we find Jesus because we pile our stuff by the road, then we've gained everything. And that pile is worth it. I count all things as rubbish, knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. So we take that pile and we say, oh Lord, that pile has brought me to you. And blessed be the pile. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me give you one other thing, just to make you think. Nearly every drop of the water that was rushing through people's houses last weekend, think about this. Nearly every drop of water that was rushing through people's houses, nearly every drop of water that was rushing through these 110,000 people's homes last weekend was floating in the air on Thursday. Did you see the pictures of the water? I can't even fathom the water. Denham Springs, Central, Baton Rouge, The whole city, the amount of water spread out through all of these areas was floating in the air on Thursday. Yeah, you think the Lord is amazing? That He can take that water, that amount of water, and just float it in the air. Can you do that? I'll give you a bucket. You float any water in the air? The Lord can. This is the wisdom and the knowledge and the glory of God. We can't fathom it. We can't even fathom evaporation. Where'd all that water go? It didn't just sit there. It went away. It went somewhere. Did you know the Lord, when He created our continent, He made it all flow out into the ocean? Yeah. Army Corps of Engineers can't do that. You know who can? Oh, the depth and the riches and wisdom of God. I want to give you one more passage, and then I just want you to take this one. Isaiah 55. Listen to this one. Seek the Lord while He might be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that He might have compassion on him, and to our Lord, and to our God. For He will abundantly pardon. This is Isaiah calling people to repent and turn to the Lord. Do you hear it? And then he says these next two verses, verses 8 and 9. Some of you quote them regularly. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I love this passage. But have you considered the context of verses 8 and 9? Here's the idea. Here's the idea. We think about, oh, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are above. We get that and we affirm that. Do you know the context in which Isaiah is speaking that? I just can't understand God. I can't get Him. I can't fathom His thoughts. They're so much higher and greater and mightier than ours. What's the context? Isaiah is sitting back and looking at the fact that the Lord our God would forgive sinful man. And says, I just can't fathom it. I don't get it. The context of these verses are very clear. The God in heaven who floats water in the air and flows it down the continent is the same God who sees sinners and rebellious people walking on the face of this earth and says and extends them the offer of forgiveness through His Son Jesus Christ. And says, hey sinner, if you will believe in the Son of God Jesus Christ and affirm who He is and abandon your life of sin and come to the cross, I will forgive you. And Isaiah says, I don't get it. I don't get it. His ways are above my ways. I would not do that. I would not forgive the guilty. I don't get it. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God in heaven, a holy and righteous God, would forgive sinners is beyond our comprehension. Greater than understanding why does God bring flood waters is why does God forgive sinners? So Christian, you come before the Lord and you say, oh Father, forgive me. Continue to forgive me through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. If you are not a believer this morning, you come to the cross and you say, oh, Father, forgive me. The weight of sin is upon me and the burden and the judgment and your fury against sin is upon my shoulders. I need to come to the cross or I will face eternity. and judgment. Father, forgive me. I come to the cross. I believe in your Son. Change me now. Make me your son. Make me your daughter. Receive me through the blood of Jesus. This is unfathomable, friends, that the Lord our God would forgive sinners. Do you need to be forgiven? Come to the cross. Come to the cross and meet Jesus. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we stand back in awe of you. And Lord, we pray right now, bring salvation to souls this morning. Bring repentance to we as sinners this morning, to us as sinners. Oh Lord, you are awesome. Help us this morning in our weakness. In the name of Jesus, amen.